Today's learning again is the Zchus Refuah Shleima for Sarah Feige Bastiv Yaliba, sponsored by Dershu of Cleveland. Okay, we are going to start the Mishnah on Samachay Amud Beis. Start the Mishnah. Ish Mitzvah Piri Viribi Avaloya Isha. And is Mechuyim to have children. A woman is not Mechuyim to have children. If you have a Eimer, Ashneim Oimer by Baruch Hashem Lakim, by Yemer Lakim Pruvu, if you read the Psukim, it says Hashem told them Pruvu, seems to indicate that the obligation is on both of them. That's Rabbi Yechim and Breik Yeshita, that a woman is obligated to have children. In Halacha, we paskin not like Rabbi Yechim and Breik. We paskin a woman is not obligated to have children. Only a man is obligated to have children. Rashi, Avaloy Yisha, the time of the Farish for Gemara, and the reason is explained in the Gemara. Fact the Gemara Benohani Mili. Where do we know that only men are Mechuyev to have children? Where do Rabbanon get their Shita from? Amar Rab Iloi Mishum Rab Lazim Rab Shimon. Amar Kro Milu Wasa'aret. They should fill the world V'chiv Shuha. And they should conquer it. Ish Darki Lichbash. V'ein Ish Darki Lichbash. The word V'chiv Shuha is indicative of like a battle, like a war, conquering. And men conquer. Women don't conquer. And therefore, if the Torah says Milu Wasa'aret fill the world V'chiv Shuha, it is identifying the obligation to fill the world is on those who can conquer, which is on men, not on women. In fact, the Gemara Adarabba, the Chivshua Tarti Mashma, the way we read it, it seems to say plural. They should conquer it. They, the Chivshua, means both man and woman. Dr. Gemara, the Chivshuksev, it's spelled singular. Now, the Ritva asked the question. Throughout Shas, we always have machloikas. Do you go by spelling or pronunciation? And here, the Gemara seems to accept this without getting involved in whether we go by spelling or pronunciation. So, Frekta Mitzva, why doesn't the Gemara here say, that's good according to the Mandeva that says you go by spelling. What happens to the Mandeva that says you go by pronunciation, which we pronounce with plural? Zakta Mitzva, since conquering is a male thing, not a female thing.
Yeah.
Therefore, everybody here would agree that you go by the spelling, not by the pronunciation, and you're only Machayev the men and not the women. That's what? Because women don't go to war.
If everybody
women don't
mute
engage
themselves.
Conquering. So I don't know the answer to. But that's what the Ritva says, and therefore the Gemara here says everybody accepts that the spelling is to tell us that it's only for the man and not for the woman. To limit the mitzvah only for the man and not for the woman. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Mahacha. Rabbi Yitzchak says him here. Ani Kel Shakai, right? Hashem said to Noach, I am the Rabbi Nishlaelim. Pray Urvei, be fruitful. Like Amar Pru Urvu. There, when he talked to Noach, it didn't say Pru Urvu. By other Marishan, he did say Pru Urvu. So Taisus, by other Marishan, he gave him a blessing, Pru Urvu, be fruitful. Not a command, a blessing. Whereas by Noach, this is the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, right? So even though Adam Rishon was told Pru Urvu, but Noach was limited, pray Urvei, for you. It's a mitzvah for you, and therefore, it's a mitzvah for you, only for the man and not for the woman. And that which it says Pru Urvu by Adam Rishon is a bracha, not for a mitzvah. That's what Taisa says as a shot. Don't think about it. Because we brought something down from a Beloi in the name of Blazer Reb Shimon, we are now leaving the sugya for about 10-15 lines, and we're going to get other statements of Rabbi Loi in the name of Rabbi Loi Rabbi Shimon, nothing to do with the halacha of Pru Urvu of our sugya. By the way, there's no Rashi in the Gemara I just learned. Yes? You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. My mistake, it's Yaakov. Yaakov was told pray Urvei. You're right. I'm sorry. My mistake. Yaakov was told pray Urvei, so even Adam Rishon was told Pru Urvu. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. Even though Adam Rishon was told Pru Urvu, that's only a bracha. I'm sorry. It's my mistake. Nothing in my bite to Amar Beloi Mishim Reb Lozer Reb Shimon. Kshem Shemitzvah Al Adam Loi Medover HaNishma. Kach Mitzvah Al Adam Shloi Medover She'en HaNishma. Just like it is a command for a person to give rebuke to people in something they will listen to, so it is a mitzvah not to tell people. Is there a Mishnah Berurah around? Oh, here there is. Chaim Mitzvah? Need a Mishnah Berurah, Chaim Mitzvah. Because this is Megei Lemaisa, is no Chaim Mitzvah here. Oh, yes, there is. Yes. It is Megei Lemaisa. There is a mitzvah to tell people what they will hear. So does the mitzvah not to tell people what they won't listen to. Rashi, give rebuke, give mussar to the one who will accept it from you. It is an obligation. Do not give rebuke to the cynic. He will hate you. Give mussar to the chacham and he will love you. So this Gemara seems to be saying that if I know somebody won't listen to me, I should not give him any rebuke. This is contradictory to Gemara in Erchin. But the Gemara says in Erchin, until when do I have to give a person mussar? So there's three mandiyamrim. One mandiyamrim says till he curses you. One mandiyamrim says till he hits you. And one mandiyamrim says till he yells at you. Now, if he's told, it seems to contradict the Gemara that says don't tell him if he's not going to listen. That's the kasha that Rishayim ask. So there are different shitas of the Rishayim. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this, the Halacha discusses this, in Hilchos Yom Kippur. When it talks about Taisis Yom HaKippurim, the fact that one has to add to Yom Kippur. So there's a Halacha there that says that if women aren't adding to Yom Kippur, you don't stop them, because then they're not going to listen to you anyway, and they'll come to do a b'mezid, right? So the Ramah says that's only true in something that's not mefurish in the Torah, but something that's a mefurish in the Torah, you mechuyav to be meicher whether they'll listen or they won't listen. So zok the Ramah, and this is the sheet of the Nemuki Yisav. If Yedeyash ain't the bar of Nishmoim, what if he knows that he won't be listened to? Right? It's something mefurish in the Torah. Right, so the halacha had been that you don't tell women about Taisus Yom HaKippurim. It's not mefurish in the Torah; they're not going to listen to you, so you don't tell. But if it's mefurish in the Torah, you're obligated to tell. Zok de Rama, and this is in the Mukiyais of Shita. Vim Yedeya she'ein adwar v'nishmoam. If he knows he won't be listened to, v'yoyim barabim lechicham adrat pamachas. One time you're mechuyav to tell them, even if you know you're not going to listen to them, if they're not going to listen to you, if it's in public. But once you say it once, and you know they're not going to listen to you, don't say it again. So the Mukiyaisa Paskins, the Ramah Paskins, that one time I'm mechuyav to give a guy rebuke in public, meaning I'm mechuyav to give a public rebuke. Even though I know they won't listen, I have to say it once, not more than once. I will biyachid to an individual privately. I'm going to give him rebuke, actually I can or you can let him, till he hits or till he curses. That's the Ramah's stock. So the Ramah differentiates between this Gemara and the Gemara in Erechim. This Gemara is talking about when you're speaking to public. When you speak to public, you say it once and then you don't say it again. And when you speak to private, then there's no limitations until he hits you or curses you. That is the Ramah Shita. The Meiri, however, says, the second time. That's how the Ramah, the Mukhi Yisav learns. The second time. So there, now there's different shitas that seem to hold not that way. The Meiri seems to say that the Gemara in Erchon doesn't mean he's not going to listen to you. He gets angry, he screams, he hits, but that doesn't mean ultimately he won't listen. He might, you know, some people react that way and they might listen ultimately. Whereas, if you know for sure he's not going to listen, you shouldn't give him mussar, period. That's what the Meiri says. If over there, Chad is, you don't know he's not going to listen to you. He gets angry, doesn't mean he's not going to listen. People can get angry at you for telling them things, even though they might ultimately listen because they know it's the right thing to do. But, so then you're mechuyav to keep on giving him rebuke. However, if you know for sure he's not going to listen, don't give him rebuke. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir HaLacha, the Mishnah Berurah Bir HaLacha, I'm trying to see where he brings this Meiri. He brings this Meiri also.
Rabbi Margaret, could you ask people to mute themselves?
I can't hear you.
Could you ask people to mute themselves?
Okay, can people mute themselves, please? The Bir HaLacha brings a Sefer Chassidim that says you only give rebuke to somebody that's friendly with you. But if it's somebody that you, if you rebuke will hate you, you should not rebuke him. That's what the Bir Halacha brings from the Sefer Chassidim. And I also bring some a chinuch that it doesn't mean that he has to hit you. It means he gets angry enough at you to hit you, then you can stop giving him mussar. That's the halacha of a meister. So, two things you have to be very careful when you give mussar. I just want to speak out one thing, and that is, also the Mishnah brings a sheet that says till he yells at you. You can be make on that. Now, I just want to speak out one thing. Rebuke, the way it's given, is not to do the Rebbeinu Shlom a favor. Rebuke is to do the person a favor. Meaning, if I see a guy throwing out a diamond ring, this is, the Rambam brings the mitzvah of Techocha in the mitzvah of Benazim L'chaveray. If I see a guy throwing out a diamond ring, I go over to him and I say to him, why are you throwing that out? It's worth a lot of money. Why are you doing that to yourself? Meaning, it's not coming because you're out to save diamond rings. It's coming because you're trying to do the guy a favor. Rebuke is the same thing. If I see a guy doing an Avera, my approach is, why are you doing this to yourself? You're hurting yourself. I don't mean because of the greater good. It's not a bin adam mamakam. It might also be a bin adam mamakam. But the main thing is a bin adam mechaveroi. I go over to the person and I say, why are you doing this to yourself? You're hurting yourself. I'm caring about him. That's the way rebuke has to be done. And if he still reacts negatively, and he says, leave me alone, it's none of your business, get out of here. So then, if you know he's not going to listen to you, for sure you shouldn't give it, even though the Mukiyaita said you do. But we patin to paskin, if you know for sure he's not going to listen to you, which I'm going to say for Chassidim that says, or the people that say that once he yells at you, or something like that, then you don't give him mussar anymore. That's the Mukiyaita of Shita.
They said what? Is it many people?
You give him once and get out.
Individual?
No. But Rabbim, you give it once.
To the seaboard.
Right.
But if it's the Yachid that did it,
you keep on giving it to him until he yells at you, hits you, or curses you. Well, you give the Musar in public, or you give the Musar in private.
One person.
Is it the same thing? Yeah, it's only one person.
Yeah.
So if it's on one person, the first time you do it
with
Tzibur?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. If you see a whole Tzibur doing something wrong,
right,
you get up one time and say it's wrong.
Yeah, in the second case...
If you see one individual doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's what... Oh, I think people in class misunderstood that.
I don't think so.
I did.
Again, but you, let's say...
You gave it to him in public.
No, you don't give it to any person in public. You don't embarrass
unless they were...
Yeah, I'll talk about that. So what happens is, if you see a public doing something, you can go over to one individual and talk to him privately. That's called private. If you're doing the mussar in public, you do it once and no more. If you're giving it to a private person, then you do it as many times. Again... The other Rishonim say, if you're sure he's not going to listen to you, don't do it. Especially the Sefer Chassidim says, if he's going to hate you if you do it, don't do it. And the Chinuch says he doesn't have to actually hit you, he just has to get angry enough that he would hit you if he could. Then you stop giving Techocha. And again, I think it's very important to realize Techocha is not, I'm better than you. Like people say, stop that. That's not the point. The point is you care about the person. It works much better if you approach it that way. Not as you're doing God a favor, but you're doing your friend a favor. Dr. Gemara Baita. We have Rabbi Loi, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Mutter la'adet loi la'adem l'shanois, mitnei darak yishalom. Mitvar ha'shalom. A person can say an untruth if it's negaya keeping the peace. Again, we talked about it last week. Some Rakhwaitim say it's only true something that happened, not to make up something that will happen that won't happen. Shenemar, Avicha Tziva Kaisaymer LeYosef Anasana. The Shvatim told Yosef after their father died, your father commanded us that you should forgive us, to ask Yosef to forgive you. Tell Yosef that I said, please forgive them. They never, Yaakov never told them that. But they did that, but they Hashalom, because they wanted to maintain the peace. Reb Nosson, I'm a mitzvah.
Is it?
What? It didn't. Yosef didn't know, but we know. I guess the Torah says, "Kai Samro." It didn't happen. We didn't have found it. If not, that I'm a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah to change to keep the peace. Shenemar. Vayomer Shmuel, Ein Chelach v'Sham Mishal v'Hargeni. Hashem, Hashem says to Shaul to go anoint David as king. So Shmuel says, Shaul will hear and kill me. How can I do this? Hashem said, go that you take along animal and say you're going to celebrate some holiday, some occasion. Now, that's not true. Hashem is telling Shmuel to lie. The answer is, it's in the dark Yishalom. Now, the question is, why did Shmuel say to Hashem, Shmuel, Hashem is telling him to do something. It is Shmuel is not saying to Hashem, I'm not doing it. He's saying, since the halacha is, I'm not allowed to put myself into sakana, and you're telling me to go do it. Or do you mean I should do it in sakana? Or do you mean that there's a way to do it without putting myself into sakana? He's asking Hashem the halacha. You told me to do something. The halacha is I'm not allowed to put myself in sakana. So, what do you want me to do here? Saul's going to kill me. Should I go anyway? You told me to go. I'm ready to go. Or, is there a way for me to go without putting myself in sakana? Hashem said, do it this way. Hashem is commanding him, may Dark Yisraelim, to say an untruth. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, God will have Shalom. Sh'ab HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinevoi. The Mikara Siv Adai Nizakin. The Saif Siv Adai Nizakanti. Sarah said, I won't have children because my master is old. And Hashem repeated to him and said, Sarah said, I am old. Now, the Ramban speaks out that really, she said both. She said, I am old and he is old. Hashem repeated part of it. That was Shina because it changed the message. The message was, we're both old. But Hashem didn't want Avram to be told that part. So he only told them that part. So of course, when a person gives him a Shana, they don't control him, he should limit as much as possible what he's Mishana. If he can avoid saying a blatant lie, he should avoid saying a blatant lie. He can skip over some of the facts, but not necessarily lie unless he actually has to.
That's
a din in Shalom, period. No, there's no difference. Rashi.
But Rabbi, I want to say something. I know Yankee told me that he doesn't hear all my questions. I'm trying to make up for all the time that...
Yes, Yankee told me he does hear your questions. Yes, he did hear your questions. Yes.
Oh, he told me that. I replied.
But they don't hear Shalom. Go ahead.
There could be another phone. The point of it is, my wife says over a story, she will not say over a story unless she knows every product.
Before supper or after supper?
Exactly, it doesn't know which Gadol said it. She won't say it until she finds the Gadol. But when I say a story, I have to add more to what it is, make it a little more attractive.
It's called embellishing. You should write a book. You can make, if you can embellish stories, you should be writing a book.
$5
She'll also give $5. Okay,
but Rebbe, is that considered lying?
Not true. Not true.
What's the same thing? You can't add things that aren't there.
Right, it's not true. But it's not true.
What?
It's not
true. But people listen better that way.
But it's not true. What's the Shalom about? Why do you have to embellish the story?
Make the story more attractive.
But it's not true. It's fiction. You can say that my stories are partially fiction, and then you can say them over. Then you can add whatever you want. Avicha Tziva, and Matisyahu Solomon should be healthy and well, told me that he told somebody who wrote the Toldos of a Tzaddik that you taught me how to read a Toldos. The person said, why? He said, I was there with him and then I read your book. Matisyahu told me. He didn't tell me what, but he told me. I was there. Yes. Yes.
I just want to add something. It's interesting. Years ago, I can't remember where I saw it. It says that Adoniza Cain, she was saying that Hashem, she looks at Hashem, Saul was old now, as old. So when he said Vaniza Cain...
The Rishayim don't say that she said anything about Hashem.
Okay.
They talk about her and Avraham Avinu. She didn't say anything bad about Hashem. I never heard that, and I don't see why anybody should say
no,
that.
No. You're right. But that's what I read somewhere. And meaning, so I asked a couple people, I asked young people and old people, how do you view Hashem? And as they got older, they looked at Hashem as older.
You know what that means. Hashem is not aged. Hashem is not a person.
I know
Hashem
that.
Is not human. They don't understand Hashem, so I have trouble comprehending that.
She was saying that the Adonizah came, I look at Hashem, now that I'm older, that Hashem is an old man, in other words, Talmud Chacham.
Not a man. Hashem is not a man. Hashem doesn't age. The whole thing doesn't make... Please, Ramaitra, we don't talk about Hashem in terms of age or capability or anything. And for sure, Sarah didn't question Hashem's capability.
I didn't say Avi that.
Tziva. Yaakov leitziva leimshinu bnei dark yishalom. Okay, look, tziva, yayim Hashem eglis boker tikkhli yudach, over maart luzvayach, he's going to shecht it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva leshanas. Then he's talking, Sarah amr loshin bizoy. She said it in a more derogatory way. Shigal HaKadosh Baruch, gil HaKadosh Baruch HaDobar LaAvram, and Hashem revealed it to Avram, tziva lomu tetzach kasara vanizakanti. Veshina adobar bnei yishalom. And again, the Ramban says she said both, and Hashem only said over half the thing. But it's also misleading, because he only said over half. But Ne'ah Shalom, he did this. The Kutzker Rebbe says that we translate the word emeth as wrong. Emeth, it doesn't translate as truth. Emeth translates as what Hashem wants us to say in that situation. So if it's mitzvah l'shanas medar k'shalom, that is emeth. So we are used to translating the word emeth as truth, and sometimes we're allowed to bend the truth. Bend the emeth. Kutzker Rebbe says, no, we don't bend emeth. Emeth doesn't mean truth. Emeth means say what Hashem wants you to say in that situation. That is emeth. Yaakov Avinu had the midas for emeth. So when he said things that weren't true, like misled Yitzchak that he is Esav, it wasn't that he wasn't emeth. That was the emeth of that time. That's what the Kutzker Rebbe says. Emeth does not translate as truth. Emeth translates as saying what Hashem wants me to say at that point. Ishluch Emeth Arza, right. Talk to you about that. Rabbi Yechim and Breikheimer. Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Shulam and Levi. Chanam Alok, Rabbi Yechim and Breikheimer. Chanam Ein Alok, Rabbi Yechim and Breikheimer. Tmachleikas. Is there a woman? Is a woman mechuyim to have four kids or not? Tmachleikas. To Sayim, Rabbi Yechim, Zamrein, Alok. I can prove to you that of the two, Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Shulam and Levi, it was Rabbi Yechim that said, we don't pass like Rabbi Yechim and Breikheimer. Why? The Yatzer Rabbi Vol becoming Mishmeid Rabbi Yechim. Halacha. Rabbi Vol quoted Rabbi Yechim as saying that Alok is like Rabbi Yechim and Breikheimer. And they turned their face away, meaning as if to disagree that Rabbi Yechim never said it. That was the way they, I hate to use the word, voiced their displeasure. They showed their displeasure about that quote by turning their face away, as if to say, it's not true what he just said. Ikka the army, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, it was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba that quoted Rabbi Yechanan, not Rabbi Vov, by Binu Rabbami Rabbasi Lapayu, and they turned away. Amar Rabbaba. So Rabbaba says, yes, Rabbi Yechanan is an Amaira, and Rabbi Yechanan Breik is a Tana. Rabbi Yechanan the Amaira and Rabbi Shua ben Levi the Amaira had an argument whether we do paskin like Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika or we don't paskin like Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika. Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika is in our Mishnah. He's a Tana. Rabbi Yechanan is an Amaira, the first generation of Amiraim, but he's still an Amaira. So is Rabbi Shua ben Levi. By the way, Rabbi Shua ben Levi is the one Amaira that's quoted in Mishnayot. He's an Amaira, but he's quoted in Mishnayot. In the last Mishnah in Shas, it's Rabbi Shulam Levi that says, "Asa Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Hanchu L'Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shai Olamot." He is quoted in Mishnayos. He wasn't Amira, but he's quoted in Shas, in Mishnayos. But usually, Amiraim are not quoted in Mishnayos. Rabbi Yechanan the Amira and Rabbi Shulam Levi had an argument whether we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan Breika the Tana or we don't paskin like Rabbi Yechanan Breika the Tana. Now, over here there's an interesting story. We have two versions of the story that can make a difference. Rabbi Vol, either Rabbi Vol or Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, those are the two versions, said over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan Breika. In both versions of the story, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi turned their face around to say that was an indication that they don't agree with the quote. Dr. Gemara, one story makes more sense to us than the other story. Dr. Gemara, Amar Papa, Bishlam Elamand Amar Rabbi Vol Amra. See, why didn't they say? Hello, Rabbi Yechanan never said that. Why is this turning their face away? If you disagree with what quote, Right. If Rabbi Bo was quoting, or Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is quoting, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we paskin that women have an obligation of approval. And Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi are saying, no, he never said that, or he never meant that, or he never held that way, so they should say so. We disagree. Rabbi Yochanan never said that, or he changed his mind. Whatever way you want to express it, say it. Why are you just turning your face around? So if it's Rabbi Bo, we understand. Rabbi Bo was very close to the king. He was a very well-respected person. When people spoke to Rabbi Bo, they had to take into account his position. You didn't disagree with him publicly, because his position required a certain amount of respect. He was Karvel Malchus. The government respected him, so we had to show respect for him too. So when you disagree with Rabbi Bo, you don't publicly say to Rabbi Bo, no, he never said that. You turn your face around to show that you disagree, but you don't announce it. But if Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, why didn't they react? Zakti Gemar Amar Rababa. Bishlam Elamad Amar Rababa Amram. Covered Bei Kesher Amar Levlamidi. For respect of the Caesar, they didn't say anything. Meaning, the way I understand it, is that you don't want to undermine his position. Disagreeing with him in public puts him in an undermined position. See, not everybody accepts him. We want the Goyim to respect him. It's good for us that the Goyim respect him. So we don't want to undercut his influence, so we don't disagree with him in public. But if my Elamad Amar Rabbi Chiya, this is the way I understand it, and I know how Art School understands it. Elamad Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amra, Leimrulei, Loi Amar Rabbi Yechanachi. Tell him, no. Why do you just turn around? So at the end of the day, we're leaving it that way. That it makes more sense it was Rabbi Bo, the story, than it makes Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rashi. Look to Rashi. Mishmeid Rabbi Yechon Halokh Rabbi Yechon Mabreka. Well, Zinu Lapayu. The way Amar Rabbi Yechon Meyaylam. Rabbi Yechon never said it. The Chokul Loi Kavad Vilei Rasu Lakishoy. They gave him respect, and they didn't want to argue with him. Rabbi Bo Karv Lamalkas Havim. Good Amar Bissinhedrin Rabbi Ksubas. The Matchman Amas of the Bei Kesar. The maidservant of the Caesar used to sing when he arrived. Rabbi the Ame, leader of his nation, Bidabarna the Umse, spokesperson of his nation. Practice Gemara, my Havi Allah. Bottom line, what does Rabbi Yechanan hold? Does he passing yes on Rabbi Yechanan Breikim or not like Rabbi Yechanan Breikim? Does the Gemara Tashema? The Amar of Akabachanin, Amar of Avo, Amar of Asi. Umse Havu Kameh, Rabbi Yechanan, Beknishta the Kisri. There was a story. In front of Rabbi Yechanan the Amira, in the shul in Caesarea, the Amar Yaitzib Yitin Tzuba, a woman came and claimed that she wanted, and she said, I want out. I don't have children with my husband. I want him to divorce me after 10 years. And she said, I want out. So Rabbi Yechanan said to the husband, you must divorce her and give her a Tzuba. Now, if she's not obligated to have kids, why in the world are we intervening? Taisa says, why are we not just saying, why divorce her? But the Gemara says, why are we telling him he has to give her a ksuba? He can say, listen, I don't have, she doesn't have a chiyuv to have kids. Why am I divorcing her? I have kids. I don't have, why am I mechuyav to divorce her? Why should she want kids? Who cares? The Gemara, Taisa says the Gemara should have said, why are we telling him to divorce her? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, why are we making him pay? Taisa's wife Shver, why? But the bottom line is, if he doesn't have an obligation, let's say he's an ukker. Let's say we know it's his fault. So we can't make him have kids. He can't, right? But she wants kids. And we're getting involved and we're saying, listen, sir, your wife wants kids. Divorce her and pay her. If she's not obligated to have kids, why are we getting involved? Dr. Gemara, Duma Baba Machmas Taina. A woman can want kids without an obligation. She has a legitimate claim to want kids without having an obligation. Chahi. Now, sorry, Lakamad Ravami. A lady came in front of Ravami. Amrle Havlik Suba. Amrle, he said, Zil Le Mifkadis. I'm sorry. I can't tell him that he has to divorce you and pay the Suba. You have no obligation to have kids. Amrle, so she said, Misibu Dila, when I get aged, am I correct? Is art school translated the same way? Misibu Dila, when I age? Well, I'm sorry? No, that's later the thing for the hand. This woman, referring to herself in third person, what's going to happen to her when she becomes old? She doesn't have children. Who's going to take care of her? Right? She'll end up in New York in some old age home when COVID's going around. Who knows what she'll be? There's no kids to take care of her. That's a legitimate claim, even if she doesn't have an obligation to have kids. A woman can want to have children, so somebody should take care of her when she's an old lady. She doesn't need to have to want to have children because it's a mitzvah. She can want to have children because she wants children to take care of her. Rashi. Doesn't she need a stick for her hand? And a shovel for a kvura, meaning who's going to take care of me? Who's going to support me when I'm older? I need a stick, a staff. I need a child. And who's going to bury me? Who's going to take care of my burial? Rashi, I want to say something that I think, and again, it's not politically correct, but I'll say it anyway. If you notice, a woman coming in and say, I want children because that's a maternal thing. I have a desire to be maternal. I'd like children would not have carried the day to get her a ksuba. I just want children. They're cute. I want to play with them. I want to raise children. Even if she says, I want to have children to carry on my legacy, would not have been a valid taina. In both of these cases, the woman is saying, I need children for me. A man says, I need children for my mitzvah. A woman says, I need children to take care of me. It's for my benefit. Then we intervene. If it's not for her benefit, it's mashma from the Gemara, she cannot say, but I just like children. I'd like to have my children. Or, I'd like a legacy. You're not commanded. You have no mitzvah to have a legacy. And liking children is not enough of a reason. The reason has to be, it's beneficial for me. There's a benefit I'm losing out of because I don't have children. Children are beneficial for me. They will take care of me. They will bury me. They will be in charge of me. I need that. Then, that's a valid taina. Again, this is what I noticed. I don't know if it's true. What would if a woman would have said, I just like children? Motherly instinct, exactly. The Gemara doesn't say that. Exactly. I would have said motherly instinct, but the Gemara doesn't say motherly instinct. Like,
why are women such pregnant they don't have children?
That's what I'm saying, right? If you ask a woman today, Rachmana Lutzan, that doesn't have children, or even that have a few children and want more, they feel like they're losing out on their motherly instinct, 100%. But the Gemara doesn't say, oh, again, I know it's not politically correct for me to say this, right. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't say that.
The Gemara does not talk about that.
Right. It must be because it's a valid reason.
That's like a very difficult thing for women to swallow. We think the motherly instinct
is a good enough time to
right.
I mean, you can also say, what's the riot? This is an instinct that happened. It did not happen like that. So what did you
theoretically, you're right. Embellish the story.
Or IT. Ow! It's incredible that nobody can do such a thing. I guess
right.
It's embarrassing.
Exactly. Maybe it's, I don't know. I can't prove you wrong. It could be this is a story. But there is no story that a woman said, I have this maternal instinct, I want children. Maybe you're right. Maybe it would be a Valentine. Talk to Gemara Baita. Yehuda and Chizkiah Tumim Hayu. Yehuda and Chizkiah were twins. Now, it's an interesting set of twins, and I don't know if it can happen today. Echad Nigmar Tzurasa L'Saib Tishav, Echad Nigmar Tzurasa L'Shechil L'Shiva. They were born 2 months apart. One was a fast-track pregnancy. In those days, they had two kinds of pregnancies. The Shtana HaTeva. babies could either develop in 7 or 9 months. 8 month babies did not live. That was a preemie of a 9th month baby could not live. A 7th month was a different track. And this was a twins, that developed at different paces. One was a fast track and one was a slower track. She gave birth twice, yes, and she was not happy. Yehudis, the Vitzel Durkhia, Yehudis, the wife of Durkhia, have a Latar later. She had a lot of pain. It was very painful for her. To have 2 babies 2 months apart was not easy. Shanoi Mana, so she changed her clothing. She dressed up. Viyatil the Kamad Durkhia, and she came to her husband without revealing who she was. Amra, it's the Mifkila Peribu. Is a woman Mukhuyev to have children? Amra Lalai. So she said, he said, no. Azla Ishtia Samadat Krasa. So she drank something that made it impossible for her to conceive anymore. Lasaiviglai Mosa. And then he found out that it was his wife who had gotten the psak from him and relied on his psak. She had no chiyuv to have children. Amar la ichu yoldas lichad de karsachrita. I wish you wouldn't have drunk and you would have given me an other set of children. Because Amar Yehuda v'chizki achi pazi v'tavi achmusa. She had 2 sets of twins. She had 2 sets of twins. Pazi and Tavi were 2 sisters, and Yehuda and Chizkiya, the sons of Rabchia, were 2 brothers, twins. He said, I wish you would have given me another set. Rashi, Ichi yoldu lichad dekeres. So mi yitain, who would have given shloish tzitzis v'tavdu li oit keres hamach nevonim? One more load of children, one more group of twins. Aki tu'umim, achmas et tu'umais, ubenayt tevayim. And they were his daughters.
Were Tavi and Tavi born at the same time?
Doesn't say. It seems that the difficulty was the 2 births, 2 months apart. And that's what persuaded her, she can't do this again. Right. But he did, you know, she asked the Shiloh from a competent rub, who possibly she's not Mechuyav. Now it's interesting, because even if she were Mechuyav, she already had girls and boys. So even if she were Mechuyav, she was Mechai and Peruvu. She had Yehuda and Chizkiya and Pazi and Tavi. She had 4 children.
Maybe
need
2 and 2.
What?
Maybe
you
need 2 and 2.
She had 2 and 2.
No, the
Pazi and
Shranzi are...
Pazi and Akhi were 2 girls, and Yehuda and Chizkiya were 2 boys.
I thought they were...
Said, Akhi, they were sisters.
I wasn't seeing sisters.
So, she was Mekai and Peruvu already. So when she went to Rukhi and said, am I Mekhuyev and Peruvu? I mean, the answer is, you did Peruvu already anyway. The answer is, it's Al-Farev Al-Tanach Yedecha. She felt if she's Mechuyev and Peruvu, she should also have as many children as possible. She's not Mechuyev and Peruvu. Listen, I had 4 children already. Interesting, because she did not come and say as a woman Mechuyev and Arab Al-Tanach Yudecha. She was already Mekayev and Peruvu. She had 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls.
Take this medicine,
is that
what you call
Not if she's not Mechuyev. By a man, there's an Issa
Ucker. Even if he has children?
Yeah.
No.
It's a big shiloh whether women can take it or not. I didn't go into it, so I don't know. Does anybody point this out? Does Darsko say anything about this? That she asked about Peru even though she had 4 children? You know, let me take a look. Maybe the same position.
Four is the max.
What do you mean, max?
No,
if someone has more kids. No, she just says a person's Mechuyev to have more than 2 boys and 2 girls. Again, a Be'er Batanach Yedecha. The Shabbos Yitzharis have 1 kid.
What?
The Shabbos Yitzhara.
Where
about Tanakh Yudeka?
Where about Tanakh Yudeka? She wants to be so then. That's what she came in.
That's what he says?
Yeah.
Who's he quote that from?
Tosfos
to Shabbos.
Right. The Rambam Paskins and the Shulchan Aruch that a woman is allowed to drink Kaishal Ikrim that she shouldn't give birth. From this Gemara. Taisa says that no, that a man is not allowed to drink it even if he was a Mekayim Pruvu because he has a mitzvah of Lair Bapanach Yezecha. That's what Taisa speaks at in Shabbos. I have no idea.
What does that mean?
It's just saying that a man is believed to have as many children as he can, and he cannot do anything to himself that he shouldn't be able to procreate, even if he already was Mekayim Pruvu.
And where's that? What's the source for that?
It is a halacha of Le'er Vatanel Kedecha we had earlier that you're supposed to have as many children as you can. Let me explain this. There's an issur in the Torah for a person to make himself incapable of having children. It's a lav in the Torah. Right? That's the halacha. By a woman, she's not mechuyev in pruvu. There's a big machloikus. At what point is she allowed to drink this or not? Some say she doesn't have that lav at all. Some say it's only mutter after she had some kids, when she has tsar, only if she's having extra pain. Some say only if she feels it's dangerous for her. There's all kinds of ashitas in this. I'm not pasking halacha l'maisa. But a man has an isser lav, and Tysus is saying that isser lav is even after he has two children. Correct.
So how is it that people today take birth control, avoid having children as newlyweds?
You want me to pass in a local amaita?
No, I just want to understand.
I'm not going to pass in a local amaita, but unless you have a heter from a competent rub, until the person's Mekayim Pruvu, there's simply, again, unless there's a competent rub that gave a heter, there is no heter.
What is the heter?
Again, I'm not going to get involved in subjective cases. Obviously, people that have the heter have a subjective reason. Let's say there's a shalom bayis problem, and we're headed towards a possible breakup of a marriage. Should they have children or not?
That's more important than pruvu.
What? But we don't want him to have a child and then get divorced, right? Not healthy. So I'm not, you're pushing me for halakha l'maisa. I'm not going to get involved in halakha l'maisa. Let me just say, the straight halakha is that unless somebody has an exception to the rule, it is usher for a person not to have children until they have a boy and a girl. Now, there are heterim. Right after a woman gives birth, she's not mechuyev to become pregnant right away. Again, these are subjective shailas to be dealt with on a subjective basis, not in a shir. The one to walk in the shear, till a person's Mekayim Pruvu, there's nothing to talk about. Now that the halakha was said in shear, everybody that has a subjective reason speaks to a competent rav that paskins the shayla. This, by the way, comes up a million times. A woman is interested in having a career. She wants to delay having children until after her career, her degree. Every rav deals with it differently and paskins it subjectively. I am not going to get involved in halakha l'maisa.
I guess what I'm asking is, what is a heter to have a heter? Where does that come from, that a person's allowed to have a heter? I'm not talking about health reasons.
It's the decision of the competent rav that deals with it.
Okay. No problem.
Zuck the Gemara Baita. The Yama Frekti Gemara Beloy Mifkini, women are not chayas. There was a woman that was half a shibcha and half free. The couple was Rabba Basa Batchairin. And they forced him. She couldn't get married to anybody because she couldn't marry an Evet. She was half free. She had two owners, one freed her. She couldn't get married to a Batchairin because she was half a shibcha. She couldn't get married to an Evet. She was half free. And they forced him to make her free. Why? This one, a man, he has a chiyah pruvu. A woman doesn't have a chiyah, so let her not get married. She was being used by people. She was hefker. She was a prostitute because she couldn't marry anybody. So therefore, under the circumstances, we wanted to save that, and we forced one of them to free her so she can get married and live a regular life. No, she cannot, because it's not like you have an heir. It's each part is marrying the other. Rashi. V'atzeh ben chayrin, k'dei sh'tei mutarasli nasa. With the kafina on the rabba on the mitzvah, that's what we see, she's commanded. Minik hefker nagabov, v'shto haitzi chayrli nasa. It's a mafkeret atzma, she made herself hefker, v'chaytabam, people sinned with her. V'vichat kavus rabba l'shacharav. Hadn Allah Abayi Vimtai, Hadn Allah Abayi Vimtai, Hadn Allah Abayi Vimtai. Amanu l'kayin gadol. Grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hegen. If an Amanu married a kayin gadol, which is illegal but valid, or a grusha v'chalutza married a kayin hegen, which is illegal but valid, hechnitzu loy avde melug v'avde tzayim barzal. And she has servants. Some of them are melug, and some of them are tzayim barzal. Tzayim barzal means she gave them to her husband, and they evaluated their value at the time of the marriage. The husband owns the avodim. He owes her the money. So let's say she brings in 10 slaves, and she says 5 of them are tzayim barzal. So we figure out what the value of those slaves are at the time of the marriage, and let's say the 5 slaves together are worth $250,000. So we write in the ksuba that the husband owes her $250,000 at the point of divorce. He has bought the avodim from her. They are his avodim totally. He owes her $250,000 to be paid at the time of the divorce, regardless of what the value of the slaves will be at the time of the divorce. That's tzayim barzal. Melug means she retains ownership of the avodim, but he has a right to use them during the marriage. But any increase or decrease in value is hers. So there's melug and tzayim barzal. She had 10 avodim. 5 she made tzayim barzal, 5 she kept malug. He owns those avdei malug. Therefore, the avdei malug can eat truma. They belong to the kayan. He can eat truma, they can eat truma. His wife can't eat truma because it's an illegal marriage, right? She's a halala. He lived with her, she's a halala. He's still a kosher kayan. She's a halala. So now, her avadim are eating because of her. And she can't eat. So they can't eat either. The tzayim barzal are eating because of him. They belong to him. Therefore, they can't eat. So avdei melug, the avdei tzayim barzal, avdei melug lo yaichlu the truma. Avdei tzayim barzal yaichlu. We will continue, Mech Hashem. Tomorrow we will chazer this amud. We will start at 6:30. Tomorrow shir is at 6:30, and we will learn Pele Yayis at 6:30, and then we will finish the Chazir this Amun, and we will start again in Meretz Hashem 2 weeks from tomorrow, April 6th, I believe you said it is. Tuesday, April 6th, we will start the 7th Perek. Those who not get, I want to wish everybody a Freilich and Kasher and Pesach, and I will quote the Vartor of Lev Yitzchak Baditzver, that the Rabbi Nishleilim, Yidden will make sure it's Kasher, you make sure it's Freilich.